question that always gets asked, so I'll just kind of point it out in advance. If you look down at the private markets, which is the bottom asset class there, you'll see what looks like very high fees from a percentage basis. Private equity managers typically charge on committed capital. So if you have a manager that you commit $10 million to, they start charging fees on that $10 million, even though they may have only called and put to work $1 or $2 million. So in the short term, it makes the fees appear very high. So that's the reason why that average is higher than the others. But the average, you know, fees for most of these managers are kind of 1.5% to 2% in the private equity space. But I want to make sure I explain that. So that was a quick review of the 120-page quarterly. If there's any questions, please let me know. Otherwise, we'll jump forward. We're going to jump back up to page 216. So this is just an update on what we discussed at the last meeting. Last meeting, if you recall, we discussed allocations to your private capital investments. And again, since these investments are commitments that are called over a period of several years, and the life of these funds typically lasts 10 to 12 years, we have to continually have conversations about when to allocate new capital to these investments. As I mentioned, you last allocated capital to two 2017 vintage funds. So we wanted to start the process of reviewing the current opportunity set of private equity managers going forward. So what's on page 216 and the next several pages is a draft RFP for private equity managers. And kind of our standard structure for an RFP. This is to fill a need for a closed-end strategy of approximately $15 million. We are going to solicit for responses for open-end funds as well. At the last meeting, we talked a little bit about the difference between open-end and closed-end. So we may be a little over that $15 million if we do some open-end funds as well. The terms and kind of the details are on page 217. So we'd be looking for authorization from the board to launch the RFP starting today. And then we would immediately go into a quiet period for the asset class. And the dates for the RFP are in the middle of that page. So of course we've launched this later on this week. We typically have a couple week period for the managers to get back to us with any questions they have. They submit questions back to the fund. Staff and consultant work together to come up with answers that are then publicly posted so everyone can see the answers to the questions that were asked. And the managers have another several weeks before final proposals are due. And we'll then, at the October meeting, review the manager responses and have a discussion about who we'd like to bring in to interview, and then potentially interview manager at the November regularly scheduled board meeting.
And you'll also include the location for us?
We'll have the location for all the managers, a women minority owned firm to be highlighted. So that's all out there for everyone.
All the information, including the minority legislation.
I just want the location as well. I want as much as possible try to support local. Now, as much as possible, to be as reasonable as.
Yeah. So for these closed-end asset classes, where it's not as easy to compare managers, so when we're doing, let's say, a U.S. equity manager search, a large cap value search, it's very easy to lay out the managers really quantitatively compare one versus another. For private equity, you may have one manager that's raising their 10th fund and raising $2 billion, and they're focused on mega large cap buyout. You might have another manager that's raising just their third fund, they're only looking to raise $200 million, and they're focused on some kind of niche area of the market. So when we do these searches, we typically bring the board a kind of a rather lengthy memo outlining the differences for all these managers, because really the numbers don't compare very well, as we never want to be kind of disadvantaging one manager versus another. So at that meeting in October, we'll likely be discussing kind of a long list of all the managers that responded, the pros and cons to each, and then give you a recommendation of which managers you think fit best for your portfolio. the other, only other thing that we had today, and this kind of follows up on the watch list point. Pass around a memo. We had kind of some recent news from the team over at JP Morgan and their real estate fund. So the team at JP Morgan had a few internal promotions, but it did change the actual portfolio management. The senior leadership team for the JP Morgan Strategic Property Fund, which you made an allocation to back in December. And if you remember, when you interviewed that manager, Kim Adams was one of the two key portfolio managers who was here and presented to you. And you remember, she was once again in the middle to get all the talking for JP Morgan. Her co-portfolio manager, Ann Cole, has been promoted to a more kind of strategic role overall of JP Morgan Real Estate. So Kim, who you met, is now kind of the sole senior portfolio manager of that fund. And there are two new individuals who were promoted. I won't pronounce their last names. Sue Colasa and Steve Zahn were promoted, and they'll be kind of the co-PMs, but in a secondary role. So we are advising our clients just whenever there's a change in portfolio management, we always advise our clients to put the manager on alert. Yes, it was a manager that we just hired in the last year. We don't think this is going to have any major impact on the fund. This is not a portfolio that's turned over very frequently, but just we did think it's good practice to put a manager on alert for, you know, a 6 to 9 month period of time. So just wanted to present that to you. If you have any questions, certainly let us know. But I did think the positive was that Kim, who is now the head senior PM, was the individual who kind of led the presentation to you back at the end of 2018.
Now, just to put Jamie's comments into context, we are seeing some of the bigger funds. So UBS, I know we're not investing with them, but we are seeing some of the bigger funds go through succession and turnover at the senior levels. So again, it's not anything that's concerning, surprising to us, and it's really procedural to put the strategy on the alert.
So you're putting them on the watch?
Putting them on the watch, yeah. Just so we have one of you, we will use those terms interchangeably, watch and alert, but technically yours is called the watch list.
And you agree that the board would have a motion to put JP Morgan on watch?
Motion made by Trustee Purdy, seconded by Trustee Bess. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, that's all we have for this.
Motion to approve the RFP for private equity fund managers.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Purdy, seconded by Trustee Joyner. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Any other questions from our tech before they go? Yes, sir.
Only if he tells us exactly what he learned. That would be great.
Well, we used to send Kathy Shannon all the time. He's taking a place.
So I'm Yes, the conference of consulting actuaries is October 27th to 30th. It's actually in San Antonio.
Forget it. It sounds like it'd be fun. Motion to approve travel for one person?
One person.
Probably no, maybe no more than like $3,500.
Motion made by trustee Hamburger, second by trustee Capasso, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. If we cut it down, we could send them with a bottle of water and a pack of pretzels, they tell you.
Legislative matters. I left it on the agenda just in case there was some movement, but we've been talking about the two bills, the Sustainability Investment Act and then the act dealing with the strategic funds to the state, neither of which is yet signed by the governor, so we're still kind of in a hold. If, particularly if that Sustainability Investment Act becomes law, sufficient time for the special investment meeting, which is coming up soon, we might have kind of an initial discussion regarding some of those concepts at that special investment meeting.
What happened with the video taping?
That never made it out of committee.
Woo-hoo!
Thank God it happened.
Okay, thank you.
Few miscellaneous items, again, special investment meeting, should be on your calendars, it's 9 AM on September 12th. We're planning on doing a small education piece, having a couple of managers come and present and provide an update. And may talk about Sustainability Investment Act if it ties to that.
At 9 AM, Mike?
9 AM on 9/12. Election update, we are in the midst of the trustee election. Petitions are due next Monday at 3 PM. Requests for petitions are due, I think 3 PM this Friday. So thus far, we've only received one set of petitions from trustee Liberty. And we will report back to the board. Mesereau, just a reminder, as
can I, sorry, going back to Cannon Hall?
Sure.
Never mind. Go on. We're good.
Just a heads up that Mesereau has been accustomed here to come and present regarding fiduciary liability insurance at the next regular meeting. We do expect premiums will go up more than we're accustomed to, probably in that 8-9% range, mostly based on kind of market conditions. A lot of insurance products, but we'll let them explain. We'll send a presentation out to you in advance.
What is this?
This is fiduciary liability insurance. So it's insurance basically to protect you as fiduciaries to the fund in the event that we're sued, that would help probably explain better. But unlike some of the state funds, which have some explicit indemnification provisions in state statute, there's some question, I think, with regard to the local funds as to whether you as trustee are fully indemnified for future fiduciary given type issue. So we've gone, I think maybe 10 years ago or so, started procuring a fiduciary liability insurance policy. With just to give you an example, so I mean, with so it covers all of our litigation expense most of the time when we are sued. So, for example, when you're brought into a lawsuit regarding health or the unconstitutionality of the Public Act 980641, for example, all of our legal expenses by that policy.
So, you said the pricing is going to be going up. Are we going to compare pricing, or are we just going to accept the pricing?
The broker is going to come in with probably three different outlines of different options.
So
that
it
we
won't
have.
Be one option.
No.
No. If you need usually.
What, three? Like there's only
hardly
like
anybody
three
wants to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally dozens of.
If our funding ratio was better, we get better prices. So in like 30 years, we get like $1.
I believe when you look at the statute, it says the fund may indemnify trustees against any so. Doesn't say shall.
State funds say shall.
In other words, like the attorneys for the fund are required to represent them. They aren't necessarily by law required to represent us if we're named individually. So this allows us to just
someone else assumes you, we get dragged in somehow.
Just make sure you rest a little bit.
I'll take breaths.
Yes.
Also, just FYI, let it mention that the City of Chicago, that you may have read, has chosen new workers' comp administrator for much of its workers' comp program, so we're in the midst of trying to figure out how that's going to work. Obviously, the benefit of pay is contingent to some extent on the outcome of workers' comp. So, more to come on that issue. Next item on the agenda is the employer contribution mechanics issue. Trusty kind of had some views on it, and she's not here. We can only probably afford to wait so long, but do we want to maybe defer it one more meeting?
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to go to the spring, I mean, the fall veto session.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take, but that's kind of the deadline.
We could also put it on the agenda for where are we already? September. If we need to talk about it sooner, we have a meeting set.
We could do it at a special
agenda.
Meeting on
September. If it's a timing issue, so we don't have to.
Yeah. How about we add it to the September 12th meeting just in case we.
Everyone.
Sounds good.
The next is a personnel matter. I would ask.
Motion to go into executive session per C1.
Second. Motion made by Trustee Liberty, seconded by Trustee Junior. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
I did this way into the lot.
Okay.
I'm not going to apple something, but if I'm meeting you now, I'm seriously about other options.